This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Foundations, a weekly program brought to you by the Reformed Church of Christchurch. Hello, I'm Esther Smith. In the 3 years before his death, during what is known as his public ministry, Jesus performed a number of miracles. The Bible book of John outlines 7 of Jesus' miracles, and from them we can learn a lot about the character of Jesus and therefore of God. Today we're going to begin considering the last and potentially the most spectacular of these miracles, Jesus raising his friend Lazarus from the dead. Here's Hendrik.
Many of us here today have lost someone we love, someone who was close to us, a husband, a wife, a child, a parent, or a close friend. We have seen their lifeless body. We've mourned, grieved, cried, and wept. We've gathered with others for the funeral service. We have tried to sing the hymns. We've stood beside the grave, and afterwards have gone home to an empty house. This is the setting of the story from the Bible, which we're going to look at in our programs today and next week, about the death and resurrection of Lazarus. Here is the first part of the story, from the Gospel of John, chapter 11. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and his sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back." Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought that he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." The account of the death and resurrection of Lazarus is a remarkable chapter of the Bible. It illustrates what Jesus himself said. He said, "I'm the resurrection and the life." And it also anticipates the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. This story develops over 4 scenes. In each scene, Jesus is the central figure. Today, we'll look at 2 of these scenes. And in our program next week, we'll look at the other 2 scenes. The first scene shows Jesus and his disciples. And then in the second scene, we see Jesus and Martha. So let's look at scene one first, where we see Jesus and his disciples. In the Bible verses we read earlier, we are told that a man named Lazarus was sick. Now Lazarus was the brother of Mary and Martha, and he's only mentioned in chapters 11 and 12 of this gospel. He and his sisters lived in Bethany, a small village that was only 2 miles from Jerusalem on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives. Jesus was on the other side of the Jordan River. And so the sisters sent a message to Jesus. Lord, the one you love is sick. They made no demands of him, but the request was clear. Usually, when Jesus received a request for help or healing, he acted immediately. But this time, he deliberately delayed and stayed where he was for 2 more days. He didn't do that because he was unconcerned or callous or indifferent to their need. John tells us that Jesus loved Martha and his sister and Lazarus. But rather, he delayed for a purpose. He knew that Lazarus would die, but he also knew that his sickness would not end in death, because Jesus would raise him to life again. He would do this for God's glory, that God's Son might be glorified through it. The delay of Jesus had a purpose. We often find delays hard to accept, whether we are stuck in traffic, on the motorway, or waiting in a long queue at the supermarket. We live in an instant age. When we send a text message, we expect an immediate answer. And if we have to wait 5 minutes, we wonder why it's taking so long. When we send an email, we anticipate a prompt response. And if it takes a while, we get impatient. It's the same when we pray to God. If we ask God for something, we want an immediate answer. But he often keeps us waiting. And he does this for a good reason. It is part of his plan, because often he wants to teach us something. But his delays are not final. He will answer us in his own time and in his own way. One writer says, God is the best of timekeepers. He created time. He is never late for his appointments. So, after delaying for 2 days, Jesus went to Judea and approached the village of Bethany. Then, in the second scene of the story, we see Jesus with Martha. Here's the story from the Bible, again from John chapter 11. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. In this story, Martha acts true to her personality type. Her sister Mary was quiet, meditative, and passive, and she remained at home. But Martha was busy and active and spontaneous. And when she heard Jesus was coming, She got up straight away and went out to meet him. We need to be careful that we don't make too much of this, and that we don't make these sisters into theological models. In personality, one is neither better or worse. They're different. What is important is their Christian character. And both, at different times, showed great faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, as we will see here. Martha's opening words are a mild rebuke to Jesus. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." She did not understand why Jesus had delayed. Nor did she realize that his power was not tied to his physical presence. Jesus could have healed Lazarus from a distance, as he had earlier healed the son of the royal official. Yet, she did believe that her brother would rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She gave a clear statement of this when she said, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." But Jesus wanted to make that more personal and direct. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Christian faith is not only a belief in doctrines and truth, but even more a living trust in the person of Jesus Christ. Believing in him involves knowledge of the truth, but it also involves making that knowledge personal. Let me put that to you with a few questions. Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection? That he raised himself from the dead after his agonizing death by crucifixion? Do you believe that his resurrection is the guarantee of your resurrection? Do you believe that he is the giver of life? That he can and will give eternal life to all who believe in him? Do you believe this? Is all this true of you? When Jesus asked Martha that question, she responded with one of the outstanding declarations of faith in the scriptures. "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God who was to come into the world." Is this your profession? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? And if you do believe it, do you practice it in daily life? Does it comfort you in times of sorrow and death? Does it give you a certain hope for the future?
You're listening to Foundations on Plains FM 96.9.
Today you've heard Hendrik Barker reading edited material written by Reverend John Haviland. Next week we'll continue considering the miracle of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, considering the next two scenes in the story. We hope you'll join us for this Sunday at 10 a.m. or 10:30 p.m. For now, though, it's goodbye from the Foundations team.
You can contact the Foundations team by sending an email to foundationsonplains@gmail.com. Join us for worship on Sunday at the Reformed Church of Christchurch. Our services are at 10:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. at 63 Cornwall Street.